I was stuck for 40 years because I was always chasing success, and being flow is actually going from effort to energy.
Like, where does someone even start to sort of shift mindset and action around this?
You have to break down before breakthrough happens. And if you ask yourself the question that is, why me? Why does bad things happen to me? Your subconscious mind will find amazing answers. I had this idea to interview 1,000 people about success and fulfillment, best-selling authors, leadership coach of Steve Jobs, Olympic champions. What I found they had in common was...
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to this. I'm your host, Shauna Griffiths. And today is our third episode of the Business Athlete edition of this show. And I am so excited to have my new friend, Marcel Kuhn, on the show. Marcel, thanks so much for making time for this, especially when you're on holiday surfing with your boys.
Oh, I'm excited to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. So, folks, as I mentioned, this is another one of the Business Athlete episodes. And really what that means is it's all about helping you in your pursuit for optimal performance. And Marcel and I share a passion for that. As you all, hopefully you've seen my Sunday Stories post. So I post a lot about that related to a parallel between on the bicycle and off the bicycle. And Marcel brings that to you all and to his audience. Related to surfing. So I'm going to get right into a quick intro of you, Marcel. So you're a speaker, a best-selling author, a coach, and you wrote dreamer in your profile, but I'm going to tell you, you're a dream catcher and you're obviously a surfer. So again, I thank you so much for coming here today. And so tell us a bit about you and what you're up to these days.
Yeah, so as you mentioned, I'm on holidays with my kids, my three boys, and my parents, and we are in Spain now for 2 weeks. And my voice is a little bit hoarse because I just did my long distance swim and run on Saturday, which was really unthinkable because I was sick for 2.5 weeks. I had a virus. In the middle of the summer, I couldn't train for 4 weeks, but I decided to do this race anyway, and it's a huge race. It's called Öttilö. It's a Swedish format where it's called, you run from the lake to lake, and it was in the Swiss Alps, and I did it with my best friend, and we ran 10 times, and we swam 9 times. So you run in the wetsuit in the Swiss Alps, so it's beautiful. On trails with a lot of climbing, and the swim is in 40 or 50 degree water, Fahrenheit. So it's super cold. So I got a little cold there thinking, yeah. So that's what I've been up to, but I think when you have the choice of quitting before you start or just going for it, then I always want to go for it because I don't like to quit things. So that's a little of my mindset, and that's what I've been up to.
That's awesome. And so you do have a book that's titled Unthinkable. And I think that really goes with that mindset that you just said, where it's like quitting before you start isn't even an option. So talk about where did that unthinkable concept come from, and tell us about your book.
So the book, the full title is Unthinkable Life Teachings from a Soul Surfer. And it took me 7 years to write this book. And when it got started, when a person in a family member died for a tragic accident, she was 32, and I got really stuck, stopped in my tracks. And when you are faced with mortality, you have to think about what, you know, or I ask myself the question, why I'm here, and, you know, what's my legacy, and, you know, what does it all mean? And at the funeral, I ask myself, why are some people so successful and fulfilled, and other people seem to be, trapped or stuck? And I had this idea to interview 1,000 people about success and fulfillment. So this this started from discussion at the funeral, and then it turned into a book. And the book title was Achievers, a thousand Ways to Success and Fulfillment. And I interviewed like 60 people from around the world, from 20 countries, 5 continents. And they were best-selling authors, the coach, the leadership coach of Steve Jobs, Olympic champions, like paraplegic Olympic champions in downhill skiing. Can you imagine someone downhill skiing as a blind person? So just really incredible people. And what I found they had in common was doing the unthinkable, doing the things that maybe you and me think is impossible. And so, and that's what I had, what they had in common, doing the unthinkable. And that's how I got to the title, Unthinkable. And then I went through crisis again. I went through divorce, and the person that helped me write the book passed away through it because of a brain tumor. And so it was all, I was, struggling. And I stopped to write the book for 1 year because I was so sad. I lost my friend, and I lost the family as it was. And then I brought the surfing metaphor I brought into the book. So that's how it became the life teachings from a soul surfer.
Oh, so talk to us about that, because I obviously do that with my Sunday stories and my stories about these ideas that come to me, the parallels between the bike, on the bike and off the bike. And to me, I think it's really obvious to people, like the why and again, that connection. And so I'm curious, where did you get the idea to bring in that surfing element?
Yeah, actually, I started surfing when I was 18, and I wrote a paper for school. I wrote a paper. It was about surfing and the philosophy and the culture. And at that time, at 18, I already interviewed people about surfing, and it was about the culture and the lifestyle. So it was kind of coming back full circle, so many years later. And I studied flow a lot, and as in going down a trail, a flow trail, it's all about flow. Yeah. And I just found that surfing matches, it's such a great metaphor for life, right? You have the highs and the lows, and you have those difficult obstacles, and you have those wipeouts, and it just came natural to me.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally get that. And I think it is really helpful to people. Sometimes I think that in business, we can, if we're only thinking with a business mindset about literally like, the sort of the chess pieces on the board that way, sometimes we're only looking through that lens and we can't see through it a different way. We can't see through how to come up with a solution. So that's been part of my why for bringing the biking metaphor, cycling metaphor into it, is because I feel like if I can present something that helps someone see it through a different lens, then maybe someone could say, now I can think about it a little bit differently, and now I can figure out how to move forward.
Yeah, I think that's what I talk about with Unthinkable. Actually, for me, Unthinkable is getting unstuck from our linear mind. Mm-hmm. Our mind is predictable and linear, and Unthinkable is getting out of your thinkable mind, stop overthinking and going more into the heart. And actually, when you look at the brain waves, when someone is in flow state or in flow consciousness, no, there is not much activity in the brain because you act more from the heart. So doing the unthinkable is also getting from the mind to the heart, which actually the heart is the infinite potential is in our hearts. And when you ride down a trail, you are not thinking about, I have to go slow, I have to go slow, I have to go left. You don't think, you feel. And the same is in surfing. When you start thinking, when you start overthinking, you don't catch a wave because you have to be in the moment, you have to be in the feeling. And that's, so I like to create from the heart. And I think it's the same when you lead people in leadership. When you only talk to the minds, you cannot move people. You have to talk to the feelings, to the emotion. And I always bring this analogy of the iceberg. When the iceberg, 10% is outside of the water and 90% below the water surface. And so if there is a wind, the iceberg is not moved a lot. But if there is a current, the iceberg is moved a lot because 90% is under the water. So if you want to move the people, you have to talk to the hearts, talk to the emotion. And I've been in the continuous improvement for 16 years. And if you tell people with this project, we will be 2% more efficient, no one cares. But if you bring, you know, if you say, if we do this, we will be more happy in the workplace, we will be more fulfilled, we have a more collaborative, more, you know, innovative culture, then you can move people.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. There's an element that I read a book about it. It was literally called Ask Why or some title like that. Anyway, so ever since then, I'm always like, I really drill into giving people a why. But to your point, it's more than just a cerebral, linear why. It's the why that is going to move people, that's going to motivate people, that's going to your point, speak to their heart a bit. Because I was actually just talking to someone about this the other day. In agency world, a lot of times, you know, I come from a marketing agency background, and you're logging your hours as to how much you work. But if you tell them it's all about productivity and the you know, are you going to be more profitable and so on of things, I think that can really fall flat. But if you start to explain it to them as, well, this is the why I'm asking you to do this, because this is how you contribute to the organization. Again, I think that that's a much different reason for someone to believe in.
Yes, I totally agree. Like,
yeah, it comes down to people, I think, thinking like, do you actually care about them, or are they just like a, you know, a dot on an org chart?
Yes, exactly. And that was my experience in corporate background, that sometimes the measurement is about the hours, how many hours you work, and not actually how much you create. And and when you are in flow, you actually don't feel that the time is not linear, right? Sometimes when you bike ride, you know, like 2 hours can be done in you know, seem like seconds, but when you ride up a hill, it feels like very long. So it always depends what you make, you know, what you do with the time. So it's more about emotion. It's not really the time, it's emotion.
Yeah, absolutely. But I'm glad you mentioned your background, because you do, as I've learned, you have a background in lean management and the corporate side. So it's a lot different than where you are today as speaker, author, coach, all of that. So talk to us about a bit of that. Like, what's that been like, that evolution of your career, and a bit of that courage, that bravery to really go in an uncharted territory?
Yeah, so I think lean management, so for me, it's the philosophy of Kaizen, which means, you know, always doing it in a better way. And it doesn't mean lean, the English translation is not really correct, right? Okay. Lean is not about only being more efficient, just doing it better. But that doesn't mean always less. It just means better. That's a Japanese philosophy. And I also spent 4 years in Tokyo working in consulting and project management there, in improving the you know, the business units I was working at. So that's a background. And and when you take the continuous improvement, when you take it to the personal level, it's personal development, which is what I've been doing for 20 years, right? I've always, my mindset is always, how can I make it better? How can I make life better? How can I just improve everything? And so I think if you, actually, I'm still doing the same, just for different people.
Yeah.
I just felt in corporate, I couldn't reach as many people as I wanted. And so stepping out in the middle of my separation and divorce, I decided it was a good moment to step out of corporate, which is absolutely the worst moment to do it. but there is never a good moment to, you know, to step out. And you spoke about courage, and it takes a lot of courage to get out of something that is safe and linear and predictable. It takes a lot of courage. And there is a myth around this. Many people think that I step out when I have something that is safe and predictable. But as you know from downhill biking, you have to let go and you have to drop in and go with the flow, right? If you lean back, you fall. If you have to lean into your fear, you have to lean into the steep territory. And in surfing, it's the same, right? If you lean back, you fall back. So actually you have to commit fully. So that's the same in mountain biking or surfing. Commit fully and let go. And letting go is something I talk about a lot. Letting go is a passive process. So you let go your hand. But we as humans, we hold on to things and hold on to emotions and hold on to partners. And so it takes a lot of courage to let go. So many people I see prefer to stay in a bad relationship than letting go and hoping for something, or not hoping, but being ready to embrace something different.
Yeah, absolutely. Something that I read that is part of your philosophy I really loved is this, like, the encouragement, kind of along what you're saying, the encouragement of riding that wave of change instead of being resistant to it. And I love that, because a lot of the thing that I kept out in front of myself is about that, not having to chase after something per se. It's that same thing. Like, if the energy is stagnant, you don't have to chase after it. It's like, how do you, or if the energy is, you know, how do you work with that energy instead of trying to fight it, is my point. So I really love that you have that philosophy. So talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I have so much content I would like to share. So I don't know what I should share exactly. But I think in my book, I talk about, I have this acronym called SURF. And this is stands for surrender to an unthinkable reality through flow. So, and letting go and surrender, this is what I talk about a lot. Surrender to the change, or giving in, not giving up. That's what I find really meaningful, because if you fight change, then you will lose. It's like fighting the waves. The waves are always strong. They're always coming. You know, you can fight it all you want. And for me, I think it's a lost cause if you want to fight for keeping something the same, because you will always lose, because you fight against the universe. And you will lose, and just go with it, go with the flow and lean into it. That's much more fun, more exciting. Yeah, so I think it's really important to surrender. And in my book, I talk about that I was stuck for 40 years. Mm-hmm. So my whole life I felt stuck, because I was always chasing success. I was efforting and flow. To be in flow is actually going from effort to energy. So that's important. So surrender, it's not giving up, but it's giving in and just going with it. And in surfing, also in mountain bike riding, there is a balance between you have to stay grounded in the moment, but look towards the direction you want to go. So when you move the head to the left, and your bike and everything will follow, and it's the same in surfing. And if we hold on to the past, we will fall back and we will be stuck in the past. And I think what was unthinkable for me is stepping out of the corporate, and, you know, instead of being sad all the time, getting out and creating something that changes lives. Because in every wipeout brings you growth and brings you magic, and you have to... I like this quote. I don't know who said it. You have to break down before breakthrough happens.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's so true. Everything that you said, and one of the things you said, universe, a few times, And I believe completely the same way about working with the universe and not fighting against it. And I think that I was actually just reading something this morning about sometimes we truly want things to happen more quickly than perhaps what is meant for us, or, you know, what that natural. And I think it's for each person has their own natural timeline, right? Set by the universe. And so I have to remind myself sometimes that when something isn't happening as quickly as I want it to, or as like I think the effort that I'm putting out should warrant that return. I read something this morning that said that perhaps the universe needs you to see more things and do more things until that next things come to you. And it just, when I read those things, when I'm reminded of those things, when I'm hearing things like you're saying, it gives me like extra breath. It allows me to your point, surrender a bit and not fight so much. And actually, sometimes I talk about this again, this fighting thing. I'm like, if we chase after something and that fighting energy, it's kind of like the same thing. If you chase after a little human or a little dog, they're going to run away. It actually pushes it further away from us. And I've worked really hard to try to embody, you know, again, doing that bit of surrendering and having more patience through the process.
Yeah, but it's, you know, in our society, you say you work hard, right? And actually, that's not surrendering, right? So
it's that mixture of like at those moments being like, I worked hard, so I deserve this. But then again, exactly, that's the opposite of that low energy, you know. So, but here's the thing, and I think perhaps the audience hearing this can perhaps say, oh, this is impractical, and oh, it sounds nice, but so can you give some tips on how do you turn this seemingly impractical notion into something that is like you can really implement it? Like, where does someone even start to sort of shift mindset and action around this?
Yeah, so I do something really simple, and that's the question we ask ourselves. Bring us the results, you know, bring us like answers, right? So there is a lot of victim mentality I see. You know, some people, they experience something and 20 years they say, you know, they say, oh, I got divorced. They say it for 20 years. And in the beginning, everyone is like, oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. But after 20 years, it just gets a little bit boring, right? You know, 20 years ago, I got divorced because we just have to go on with it. So if you ask yourself a question that is, why me? Why does bad things happen to me? Your subconscious mind will find amazing answers. You're not good enough. You're not this. You're not that. Oh, you're just too stupid. You're too this. You know? So the question, the daily questions you ask yourself, give you the results. The answer you want. So what I ask myself is a disruptive question, and I use the question, how can I disrupt my day today? So every day I do something that is unthinkable, so outside of my comfort zone. So you know, many people talk about rituals, and rituals are amazing, but all the rituals also give you limitations, because rituals are structures. So you can have a healthy ritual like running a 10K every day. That's amazing. But at some point you get stuck. So you have to build rituals and disrupt them. So that's what I would say. It's really practical. Define a question for yourself that brings you positive answers. Like how can I create the best experience today? That brings you great results. Or how can I impact the world in a positive way? That brings you great answers. So that's one simple thing you can do. And the other one is I like to be grounded, to meditate and be grounded, because I'm, as I mentioned, I'm a dreamer. So my head is always in the clouds and you know, dreaming up stuff and being in idea mode. And if you do that, that's amazing, but you don't get anything done because you're always dreaming. And so to be, you know, financially free and be, you know, financially abundant, you have to stay in the now, in the present, be grounded. And yeah, just for me, it's meditation. And that's just 15 or 10 minutes a day where I just sit with my feet on the ground and just stay in the body. Right, maybe some out there have it like me, that when you're not in your body, you're more in the thoughts, in the dreams. Maybe hit stuff, you fall, you hurt yourself because you're actually not in the body. So the first one is the question, the second one is the grounding. And what I really like, you know, to be okay with the journey that you're taking is gratitude.
Oh,
so I do gratitude journaling each day. And now I do journaling. Before I had, I was lighting candles for each, you know, for people and things and experiences that I cherish each day. And I lit 30 candles each day. And for each candle, I say, okay, I'm grateful for my parents. I'm grateful for this friend and my kids and this experience. So for me, when you're an entrepreneur and you try to make it happen and you want to be a good dad and all that, sometimes you're in the scarcity and fear mode. And gratitude and grounding brings you to the now. And you mentioned my mantra before. You mentioned it's happening.
Oh.
And this is my daily mantra. I have two daily mantras that I tell myself each day. The first one, it's happening. It's in the right timing, so it's happening. And the second one is keep walking. And so if you don't see that it's happening, the results, you work for something, but you don't see the results, you say, keep walking, you know, because it will happen. So this is a mantra.
Yeah. No, I'm so glad you're sharing all these things, because I often talk about this. It's literally a practice. It takes work. It doesn't happen. A different mindset or achieving the unthinkable, as you talk about, these things don't happen, you know, again, by accident. And it just takes a lot of just practice, you know. And again, I'm hesitating from saying this word work, because again, it's what's the energy that we want to bring to it, not hard work per se, but it's that practice that and it's a commitment to do. I think it's really great also. Thank you for sharing the various ways, because I like to provide the audience with several different things that you can do. And because I think they have to be, what works for you, Marcel, may not work exactly for me. And so I think everybody has to figure it out, but it really helps to hear some examples and then you can figure out how to tweak it for yourself. But I just really love things, you know, the examples that you gave. And one thing came to mind is, it's actually from a texting conversation I was having with someone this morning, where we also have to be willing to take the action every day, to take those practice, like, swings, so to say. Because my coach Leslie Harris says this a lot, it's either like, do it or don't do it. Meaning like taking the action, doing the practice, like do it or don't do it. But there's a lesson to be learned either way.
Yes. And I just want to talk about unthinkable, just to clarify. For me, unthinkable is not doing the crazy things. For me, unthinkable is really personal. So for you, can be something totally different than for me. Right. For me, it was writing that book at that moment, you know, just taking actions and just moving forward and stepping out of corporate. And for someone, can be running a marathon or changing the diet. So it's unthinkable is really personal.
I totally agree. I think all this stuff we're talking about is really personal. I mean, that's part of the whole, like, helping people to pursue their optimal performance is giving them tips and things along the way, helping them to realize part of it that a lot of these answers lie within ourselves and the motivation lies within ourselves. And because to your point, someone can talk about the divorce they had 20 years ago or the company that laid them off 5 years ago, whatever the thing is. And if you keep telling yourself that story and telling other people that story, like, you're actually not taking any action to get yourself beyond that story. To your point earlier, you said, like, you're actually living in the past. I love that saying about, like, the past is only here if you bring it. And so, you know, again, these things are all, some people could hear it and go, oh, that's cliche, or, oh, that's idealistic and that kind of thing. But here's the thing. The opposite is staying stuck. To go to your surfing, as I was saying to you or messaging you the other day about, like, are you in the riptide and how do you get out of it? You know, and so I think, again, these are all tools I like to talk about to arm people with to find the way to continue to practice, to do the practice every day.
Yeah, so you mentioned the riptide, and so I think when we are in the current, sometimes it's hard to see, you know, where we are in relation to the outside, to the shore, right? When we are in the riptide or in the current, we are just fighting, and we don't even see how we move, right? And so in when you're stuck in the current, it's better to let yourself drift back to the shore and find a new vantage point. So now it is just an example from surfing, but that was the case I was in, right? I was just paddling. You paddle the waves, you paddle against the waves, you fight, and the ocean, the waves are always stronger. So sometimes it's good to let yourself drift back and find a vantage point, a step up higher, and then see, oh, okay, there is a nice tide, or there is a better place to go surfing.
Yeah
so that's again the render.
Yeah, in biking, I wrote about this in one of my stories, is about, like, you know, finding a different line. And sometimes you actually need to get your buddies who are out riding with you to, you know, to your point, go to a different vantage point, try to get a different line. And you can see how to attack it in a different way. And again, like, both these examples that we're giving are so applicable to the working world. And that, you know, again, if you're only looking at one thing, or you're focusing on this problem or solving it in one way, again, to your point, it's so helpful to, like, step back, try to find a different perspective for it. My coach Leslie Harris talks about it as, like, 12 degrees, like, shift your perspective 12 degrees, which I actually think is some sort of a golfing analogy. but again, like, I think, again, it's just very much this combination of the physical, the mental. How do you bring your heart along with it to be able to move forward? You're not all the time going to move forward going the exact same way. You got to find a way to surrender and get in a different position to be able to move forward.
And from the endurance sport, from triathlon, I know that sometimes by slowing down, you will be faster. Right? When I'm on a trail run and I run too fast in the beginning, the minutes I run faster in the beginning, I, you know, each mile I run 10 minutes slower. Right. So sometimes you have to slow down to go fast.
Yeah. I love that. I heard the same thing, actually. I mean, I know it from the sports analogies and at the physical part of it. But I have another friend, Lane, who says that a lot. She's like, you know, sometimes you have to slow down to be able to speed up. And it really is true. And so, you know, I think, again, for the audience, as they're listening to this, these are all different ways to think about this, like, the actual way you can move forward. Again, it's like, you know, you said it earlier about being stuck. There's so often we feel so stuck and we just keep telling ourselves that. So my hope, and I think your hope, is whether it's the surfing analogy or the biking analogy or the quote I gave, you know, I'm giving, that are actually more related to the business world, something in that sticks and helps people to think, oh, okay, that's something I want to remember and keep out in front of me in order to keep going.
Yeah, and so in my book, it's really nice when you open just any page, there are some quotes. So yeah. it's just a good reminder. So this book is, I wrote it for myself. So every day I open it and look at quotes, and one that just resonates with what you just said is, when water is stuck, it gets stale. And that's the same with humans, right? When you get stuck, it becomes stagnant and stale. So, you know, to be in flow, the water has to keep moving. People have to keep moving. So we have to go with the flow, go with the change. So just keep moving. I think that's important.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So wait a second. You started this talking about the race that you did, but I went right into our conversation. How did you do? How was the race? I mean, I'm sure people in the audience want to know too. How'd it go?
It went terrible because I couldn't train, but I'm so happy. I'm so proud that I finished it. So I had to dig so deep into my reserves, but I know I always knew that I would make it. Right. But it was just a crazy experiment. I love it to do this, to getting outside of your comfort zone so far, so that you have to deep into your last reserves. Yeah. I was so tired. It took us 8 hours.
Yeah.
And the water got colder and colder. It was there were so many waves on the lake. There was so much wind. Now it's just a great day out with my one of my best friends, and amazing.
Yeah.
So I think it's good to be outside of your comfort zone so far, just to see how much more capable you are.
Yeah. I think it's a great, I'm glad you kind of ended it with that exclamation on that part, because I think it's really true. Sometimes the kind of air quotes crazy rides that my husband and I do, people will say like, why do you do that? And they joke around, oh, you're crazy, that kind of thing. But I do think there's something really interesting about seeing yourself, being able to experience pushing yourself. Actually, my husband talks a lot about like just the challenge of it, and you're just always up for a challenge. The other day we did this challenge where we tried to do the longest continuous climb that we've done. And, you know, so again, like those things are kind of silly. There's no medal. There's no money to win. We're just doing it by ourselves. But again, I do think that sometimes if we get in the mode of practicing, showing ourselves that we can do hard things, because we can. And sometimes that means that we need to show ourselves that we can, like on the bike or surfing or doing that race, you showed yourself that you could do something hard mentally as well as physically. And so again, I think like that's a great to practice doing that, because then when we get in these other situations, again, like a working situation, career situation, I think we can actually think back to, oh, I can do hard things. I can push myself mentally and physically, because the same applies in the work world.
Yeah. I want to talk about resilience.
Yeah.
So for me, resilience is not about being tough. It's about being adaptable and soft, right? So in bike riding and in surfing, it's really about that, being adaptable. And so if you are soft in the wave, nothing happens. But if, you know, a board can break, right? So the lip of the wave can break a board if you know, tough stuff gets broken. But if you're resilient, you're adaptable and you surrender to that. So I think it's really important not to be stuck and tough and rigid. No.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. I love that you said that. One of the first, a lot of times people ask me, what's the biggest piece of advice you've ever received, or the one that made the biggest impact on you? And I usually tell the story about when I was starting my career, I was working with Nike, with the WNBA, the Women's Professional Basketball League over here. And the woman who was my boss at the time, she's still a mentor of mine, Felicia Hall Allen, at the end, she's like, Shauna, you did great, you know, all these things. However, girl, you have got to be adaptable. And and again, it's exactly what you're saying, that sense of resiliency. I had to learn very early on in my career to do that, to get better at being adaptable. You know, again, like I'm always with the sports analogies, but it's like, you know, again, I played basketball in college. So when I worked in the NBA, I'm like, you drop the ball, you get the ball stolen from you, whatever it is, you got to get back on defense, protect, you know, you can't just sit there and mope and cry and all that. It's the same thing. You know, again, these are all analogies that I think make it easier for us in the moment to say, to your point, got to be adaptable, got to be resilient. There's one thing also that I've written about, and I also think it comes down to coachability. And I think, again, it's that I'm sure in surfing, you're coaching your sons this week and vacation. And you know, I think that, but coachability, I think, works both ways for the coach and then for the person learning. It's like we both have coachability, to your point, is that I think you were talking about the Kaizen earlier, where it's that continual improvement. It's wanting to be better. And so I think we need to do that from both like seats as the person being coached and the person who is coaching. We have to all continuously be on that journey to be adaptable, to continue to improve.
Yeah, so I think about leaders and followers. Every leader is a follower too, and every follower is a leader. So we always have both roles.
Yeah.
And so my kids teach me a lot of stuff also in surfing and in, you know, in general in life. So that's why I don't have double standards with my kids. We have the same rules for myself and for the kids. Because they, in some ways, they are so much more in their hearts, and they are so much stronger and more resilient. So we can learn so much. And my oldest son, he's 10 now, and I had this situation where I was annoyed about some situation, and he told me, "Hey, Dad, it's in the past. Let it go. It's 30 seconds past." You know, so I think about letting go, and this is so great to learn from the kids. And yeah. Also, if you're listening to this and you're a leader, yeah, sometimes someone in your team knows something better than you. So it's good to listen, to learn, and always be the student's mindset.
Yeah, that's so true. So Marcel, I have taken your time this morning from your family vacation. So thank you, and thank you to your boys for giving up some time with Dad today. So we've covered a lot of things today. You know, resiliency. We've talked about your book, The Unthinkable. Are there an array of other things? What I like to do in these episodes, because we cover a lot of different things, is to cap it off and. For the audience, and if there are some takeaways that you really want to make sure people have, what would those be?
Yeah, so I think the first one is follow what excites you. So your unthinkable is what excites your heart. So follow that and be in flow, go with it. And I think that's important, to let go of the experiences and people in your life that are not good for you. So, stay grounded, do uncomfortable stuff. So get out of your comfort zone. Yeah, so this is pretty much the biggest one, letting go, staying grounded, following what excites you. Because, you know, the magic happens outside of your comfort zone. And this doesn't mean that you have to stay outside of the comfort zone all the time. It can be, when you go in the cold water, you are 2 minutes out of your comfort zone. That's enough. You know, that's a big impact.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, that's so great. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Folks, follow Marcel. Check out his book. He's got great content that he put out. Thank you so much for becoming a new friend of mine, for reaching out to me as you did that one day on LinkedIn. And I look so forward to continuing to collaborate, to support one another. And I hope you have a great rest of your day with your family. Folks, everybody have a great day. Thanks for joining.
Thanks so much.